I'm Norman Thomas. I'm a producer with Platform Films of the film Oh, Jeremy Corbyn, The Big Lie. And we're basically trying to get the film seen by as many people as possible.
Can you tell us a bit about your background and other films that you've been involved in?
I mean, I've worked with Chris Reeves of Platform Films over many years. One of the most interesting films we ever worked on was a film called Not in My Name, which was in the run-up to the attack on Iraq by Britain and America. And it was an attempt to stop Britain and America from attacking Iraq. And it was a film that was distributed all over the country. It was shown in cinemas everywhere, in London, Bristol, Scotland, everywhere you could think of in the country. And we still didn't stop the war in Iraq. But it was a very valiant effort. And it had people like Tony Benn and Tariq Ali and people like that in the film. It was a great thing. And then when the Jeremy Corbyn episode came about, Chris and I basically reunited to produce this film. I mean, Chris Reeves is the main mover in Platform Films. I just do the fancy bits like writing the script and that kind of thing. But Chris actually is the indomitable camera person who goes around filming everything that happens. And then it's a question of putting together a film that basically records history, and that's what this film does.
Okay,
I was a member of the.
I mean, there seems to have been a sort of change since. It's fascinating to hear about that 2000. It may be that that film was part of the reason that there was such a massive resistance to the Iraq War amongst the public, and now it doesn't seem to be the case with the Stop the War Coalition now. Even up until quite recently, saying we want Russia out of Ukraine. Well, this isn't really a UK campaign's job to tell the Russians what to do. It's more to be putting pressure on the British government.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, it is interesting contrast. I mean, this film, the Jeremy Corbyn film, we found it much tougher to get it into cinemas as well than the Not in My Name film. The Not in My Name film was shown in quite a lot of cinemas in London that, went in for sort of radical films. This time, many of those cinemas have just basically shut their doors on us.
Yeah,
So
so what's
it's
going
been.
on?
Well, it's there's a greater fear, I think, in many ways, amongst the establishment of the whole Jeremy Corbyn episode. They really want to airbrush it out of history. They want Starmer to become the new prime minister, and they don't want anything that interferes with the narrative that they've set up.
Well, I'm also looking at the television and thinking we don't really see any proper investigative journalism anymore, which at least there was some still around in 2003.
You're dead right. And I've had conversations with people who pride themselves on being investigative journalists. And I've talked to them about, well, why aren't you covering the things that are going on in the Labour Party in terms of the witch hunt and people being excluded from the party and people being passed over as parliamentary candidates or as council candidates? Why aren't you covering any of this? And the basic answer they give me is, oh, well, that's all like an internal Labour Party squabble. We want to get on with real politics. Corbyn was fairy tale politics, and we're not interested in covering that anymore. They just don't want to know. I mean, I've been trying desperately to get some mainstream media to cover the phenomenon of Jeremy Corbyn, the big lie, with and failed almost, uniformly. So local papers have stepped in. I mean, there's a local journalist up in Carlisle who's been covering the way the film has been banned twice, and it's now going to be screened on Saturday night, hopefully. So they've had to find three different venues, but a local journalist there has been covering it and saying, what's going on? Why is this film being banned from little cinemas or community centres in Carlisle? And it's so it is. And then we've had various other local journalists who've taken it up, but a tiny number, and nobody in the mainstream, none of the so-called investigative journalists, none of the so-called investigative journalists on the left, Navarro.
So, what's going on within the Labour Party? Because I think it's important to understand the. I mean, for example, here in Bristol West Labour Party, there was a Zoom meeting where the local. I think it's called the executive of the local branch of the Labour Party, which has always been traditionally very radical, based in St Paul's in Bristol, where the riots took place in the 1980s, was just told, "Well, we're suspending you," and the central Central Labour Party is taking over. So, of course, this makes it very difficult for them to choose the candidate they want to stand for the party in the city. And we've recently had this debacle with Thangam Debonair, who's now a sort of major spokesman. In fact, she was on there on BBC Question Time last night doing her thing and explaining how impossible it was to nationalise water. And actually, there is, you know, there are all sorts of ways to do it without having to pay massive amounts of money. So we've seen a big, big change in the party, haven't we?
The answer is that Starmer has become a very, very authoritarian leader. Blair, in his time, Tony Blair in his time, could afford to sort of be slightly more tolerant than Starmer. Starmer is dead scared of a resurgence of the Corbyn movement, and therefore he's been forced in a way almost to become a much more authoritarian leader. So you don't hear a pip of dissent from any Labour Party MP. I mean, if you compare what was going on under Blair and what's going on now, Starmer is a much more authoritarian leader. If you dissent, you get kicked out, whether it's at the national level, the local level. The people who are trying to stop the film being shown are normally local councillors who basically see this as a way of ingratiating themselves with Starmer. Starmer is really cracking the whip, and he is absolutely 100% dead sure that he is going to become the next prime minister, and he doesn't want anything interfering with it.
A democratic party, you need to at least allow local constituency parties to choose who they want to be a candidate. I mean, you know, back in the old days, if you can remember it, we had even people within within the Labour Party itself, and Shadow Foreign Secretary Robin Cook, although I'm not sure he actually was the Foreign Secretary, wasn't he? Actually resigning himself. So there was dissent within the highest ranks of the Parliamentary Labour Party. Now, very little. So what do you make of this business of selecting MPs? Because we in Bristol recently in the Bristolian, well, it's a sort of anarchist rag, but it's very entertaining, that comes out every few weeks here in Bristol. We had a picture of all our four Labour MPs saying the faces of evil, where they are, none of them will support the families of people who were arrested in the Kill the Bill riots, and some of whom have gone down for many years, 6-7 years, and under the Riot Act, which wasn't even used in the Northern Ireland Troubles.
Absolutely. Well, the answer is the democracy in the Labour Party is dead, in effect, and it's not just in Bristol, it's everywhere. Starmer is stamping it out. Starmer will be as right-wing, if not more right-wing, than any Tory Prime Minister we've got. I mean, people have to really face up to that. I mean, there was a long, long time people thought, oh, well, the Labour Party, you know, it may have a few faults, but it's better than the Tories. At the moment, Starmer is not really adhering to that idea at all. He's basically saying he's going to go with any repressive things that the Tories do, he will do better. And he's going to be worse. There is a myth that Starmer is pretending all this, that when he gets into power, he'll suddenly pull off his civilian clothes and become a socialist superman. That is rubbish. It's nonsense. Starmer is, if anything, is going to be worse than what he's saying now, which is saying something. So it's really, really a very, very bad time for anyone who believes in democracy.
Well, we saw at the World Economic Forum him saying how much to Emily Maitlis at Newsnight, that how much he preferred the World Economic Forum to Westminster, which is a little bit concerning. Anyway, look, we've come here to talk about Corbyn. Can you just, without spoiling it too much for viewers, potential viewers, what's your film about?
It's about the rise and fall of the movement that almost got Jeremy Corbyn elected to number 10 in 2017, because it's a phenomenal story in its own right. Regardless of your politics, this guy who's a complete and utter nobody in national political terms, you know, a protest politician, suddenly almost in 2017 goes from being the kind of the dead cert failure to becoming almost the prime minister. And then what the establishment does to him in terms of smearing, ludicrous smears in a way. I always think, you know, if they just called Jeremy Corbyn out for being, you know, a communist or a left winger or believing in unrealistic policies, well, fair enough, that's a right wing point of view. But to call him an anti-Semite when everybody who knew anything knew that that was a total lie, or most of his supporters, very, very few examples in the Labour Party of real anti-Semitism, and yet they used it to smear him,
Well, I even remember him being accused of being a pally when put his arms around terrorists and things like that.
Yes, that's right, being a terrorist, a friend, and a Russian spy, and all kinds of things. But none of those things worked because they were almost too far-fetched, I think, amongst most people. It was the anti-Semitism smear. They tried out, that's how silly it was, really, because they tried out all sorts of smears before they arrived on the anti-Semitic one, and they decided we'll stick with that, and they kept on hacking away at him with that. And Starmer played a huge part. The film is about the forces that brought Jeremy Corbyn down, and Starmer was definitely one of those forces, along with the mainstream media, along with his own MPs, his own Labour MPs, played a huge part in pulling Jeremy Corbyn down.
So, no, it's so appalling, isn't it? I mean, I can remember one guy, a certain Prince of Darkness, very close to the City of London, far too close to the City of London, boasting about how it's fine for people on the left to be filthy rich. Peter
Yes.
Mandelson and his role.
And he was recorded, and we put it on the film. He's recorded in an interview saying that he spends every day of his life, this is at the time of Corbyn being leader, he was spending every day of his life trying to think of ways of doing Jeremy Corbyn down, conspiring to his downfall. And he admits it. I mean, the one thing you can say about Mandelson, he absolutely admits that he abominates the left.
Surely, when he said that, Jeremy Corbyn should have had him removed from the party.
Well, that's not the sort of person that Jeremy Corbyn is, or is, was, or is, or never will be. I mean, and that, of course, is a bit of the paradox of the situation, really, is that he was voted in by members as leader and was supported by members as leader because he was a kind of a nice guy, a man of integrity who they could trust. And unfortunately, those virtues, make you vulnerable to people who come along and pretend to be supporting you and then stab you in the back in the way that Keir Starmer did.
As an individual and maybe as a campaigning politician, backbencher, that's a good quality, but it's just never going to cut it as a leader, is it? And maybe that's why Jeremy Corbyn, didn't manage to marshal the forces of the Labour Party to really support him in 2017, and maybe why he shouldn't have been leader of the country because he was just too nice a guy.
Well, I fundamentally disagree with that. I think if you can't vote for people who are nice to be your leaders, then there's something wrong with the whole system, and you should just give up and go home. The real reason it he because I always at the time I was in the Labour Party, and I was asking the question, well, what's the plan, Jeremy, and Jeremy's supporters? What's the plan for how are you going to get out of the fact that 80% of Labour MPs are devoted to your downfall? How are you going to stop the mainstream media from demonizing you? How are you going to do it? Because it was all happening at the time. You could see it happening. And the answer that I was fundamentally given was that a new mass movement would come up to support Jeremy outside Parliament that would make the difference. Unfortunately, and that movement was being worked on. There were loads of people working at it, or I came across. I was working with them, local groups that were working for Jeremy. But unfortunately, it became crystallised as Momentum, and Momentum was a huge failure on an epic scale because it was run by people from the top, run in a hierarchical way, which could never work for a grassroots movement, never ever work. And that destroyed Momentum. And the destruction of Momentum meant that the one thing that could have helped Jeremy to go further became useless, essentially. And that's the secret of the way forward. We've got to rebuild that movement, rebuild that grassroots movement, but this time not make the fundamental mistake of running it in a way which was kind of, like a top-down movement that destroyed the whole point of it. And that's my hope for the future.
Yeah, well, it's heady days. And I mean, there was more than one person described Jeremy Corbyn as like a rock star turning up in town. I mean, I would agree. It did sort of feel like that. And there were thousands of people in many cities coming, whereas there were to his competitors just a handful. And there was a potential, rejuvenation of people's actual will to vote. Now, this came in the context of the 2016 Brexit vote, and of course that didn't really get implemented until 2020. This is another aspect of Corbyn's character that a lot of people question, particularly in the Labour heartlands up north, is that, well, he was a Benite. His gut reaction to the European Union is this is a boss's club. A lot of people had voted to leave it, and yet he vacillated. And that, I think, for some people, they'd say, well, that was really fatal at that election.
Yes, I think the vacillation, Jeremy took the rap for it, but it was actually going on in his shadow cabinet, and Keir Starmer was all part of that. Keir Starmer, the film goes into this in some detail, but Starmer played a pivotal role in that that Brexit policy of the Labour Party, which ultimately played such a big part in losing votes in the 2019 election. I mean, but I still personally think that if they'd have not lost the mass movement of the people in the streets, that could have been, got through. We could have got through that if we hadn't lost the support of the people in the streets. But the party got too strung up in parliamentary debates and disputes and taking this side against that side. And then you saw the great limitations of a Labour Party leader who had only 80% of his party that he could rely on support of, then, you know, he was kind of doomed to failure. It was without the support of a mass movement. The mass movement would still have supported him, but they'd got confused, divided, and they didn't know where to go. They didn't know which way to go anymore. And it fell to pieces at that stage. But it can be revived. It can be got back if enough people get together to support the ideas of the movement. I mean, Jeremy himself very often said, it's not me at those big mass rallies that you're talking about. He said, it's not me they're afraid of, it's you. And he pointed at the crowd. And that's absolutely right. If the people can get together in large enough numbers and say, we don't want the nonsense that we're getting now from the Tory government, we don't want the nonsense that a Labour Party led by Keir Starmer is going to give us, we want something else, we want a better society. And if those people can get together and make that big enough call, they will achieve that, but it's a long-term fight. But the worst problem for the movement is being misled, really, by being misled into thinking that it's all going to be about elections at local or national level, because that's just going to take away people's strength, take away people's power, take away people's energy. You've got to have a united mass movement, of which parliamentary electoral struggle is part of, but not the main thing. It's getting together.
There's enough people, though, surely. I mean, we've got, goodness, we've got George Galloway, we've got, even more recently, Diane Abbott, Chris Williamson. There's a whole list, including Jeremy, of course, of people who are kind of been chucked onto the sidelines, but they don't seem to have got themselves very well organised. And I mean, you notice on the right, say with the UKIP and the Brexit Party, and now with the expulsion of Andrew Bridgen last week from the Conservative Party, the right always seem to get their act together immediately. And we don't even know, I don't think, whether Jeremy Corbyn is going to be standing as an MP in the next general election in order to challenge the Labour Party. So what's going on with the left? They don't really seem to be getting their act together in order to challenge this movement in the Labour Party as the right seem to so successfully do. I mean, the most obvious example is with the UKIP and Brexit.
Yeah, are you saying the left in Britain is divided? Surely not. it's been a story that's been a very, very long time developing, really, isn't it? The left is always gets divided, whatever happens. And that's why really you need a mass movement where you don't depend on leaders, you depend on people coming together and saying, we want this, we want that, we want the other, we want a better society. And I mean, that's been, because I was feeling a bit depressed about this as well up to a few months ago. But since the film has been launched, it's been shown in so many different places across the country. And every time I've talked to any of the people who are screening the film or viewing the film or seeing the film and actually seeing them in face or on the phone or on the internet, it's always the same thing. These people are people who either supported Jeremy Corbyn in the first place or came to support him during the 2017 election, because we should never forget that thousands and thousands of more people started supporting Jeremy then than had supported him before. They suddenly thought, oh, there's somebody new here, we better support them. Well, those people all still want something different. They want something different from what they're being given. So they are going to be united. But I don't think it's going to be in the usual, it's not going to be in the way of having leaders who are, who you think, oh, well, we're going to support George Galloway or we're going to support Chris Williamson. I don't think it's going to work like that. It's going to work from the bottom up.
Well,
and
so
people
it's
are
a
going
nice to... idea, but without parliamentary representation, all you are is really a kind of protest faction, isn't it, in the country?
That's what they will always say, but that's why you have to change the parliamentary system. I mean, for a very long time, the parliamentary system wasn't considered a very valid way forward back in the day.
Are you talking about proportional representation?
No, I think people, put a lot of faith in things like that. I think what we have to do is have a grassroots movement that says we want a different system. We want a different organisation. We want a different way of doing things. We want listeners, not leaders. We want people who listen to what people have to say on the ground floor, in the grassroots. And then we have to form a new party. I'm not a new leader. I'm not a new, sort of big Jeremy Corbyn or anything like that. What I'm saying is that people have to get together. That's one of the reasons we're insisting on having screenings of the film as opposed to just putting it online or on the internet, because it gives people a chance to get together, to discuss the way forward, discuss the issues, and debate the way forward. Get off their phones as well. I mean, it'll go out online eventually, but we've valiantly managed to keep it for months now, so that if you want to see this film, you have to organise your own screening, get it together in a cinema or a meeting hall or whatever, and then after the film, you have a debate, you have a discussion. There was a screening in Wimbledon the other day, and there was a wonderful discussion afterwards of people saying, well, I don't think we should do this, and I do think we should do that. And it included people from all parties and none, including the Green Party and, Lib Dems, all sorts of people who said they're not happy with what politicians are giving them. They're not happy with the parliamentary system.
It's a kind of divide and rule, isn't it, where everyone is being sort of atomised in their own home or on their own phone and not able to actually organise like people used. One of the shocking things about what's been going on is that we've seen almost all of the real investigative journalism on this whole topic, particularly with the film The Lobby about the Israel lobby, how they had £1 million slush fund in London to undermine Jeremy Corbyn. The other programme more recently looked at the undermining within the Labour Party of Jeremy Corbyn and the Islamophobia. This is all done by Al Jazeera. I mean, we've got channels in Britain. We've got, apparently we've got billions being spent by Sky and people like this. But it takes the Qatari government to do an investigative programme about what's going on in British politics.
Yeah, I mean, I find it incredibly depressing because I'm from a journalistic background myself, and I've always had a certain faith that despite the problems with the establishment press, media, Channel 4, that there were journalists who were fighting on and were trying to get the truth out there. But now, there seem to be almost no journalists working in the mainstream, and even the left-wing sort of side of the mainstream that are trying to get anything out there at all. They're basically working to very, very limited aims, and their editors are excluding any sort of coverage of anything that doesn't fit within a particular narrative, which is the parliamentary, knockabout kind of fights that we have, and nothing outside. Any left-wing people are very, very hard pressed to get their voice out at all. It's a great shame for journalists. I mean, I talked to a journalist the other day, and I said, well, if Keir Starmer had turned out to be some mass murderer in disguise, would you report it? And he said, well, yes, but I don't think it was true. I think they would just hide it over because they don't want to know. They don't want to know anything about Starmer except that maybe he's a bit boring. He's not boring. He's a ruthless, an incredibly ruthless, deceptive politician, which our film shows in spades that he is and shows what he did. Anyone who wants to make him your prime minister is kind of absolutely insane.
What's been going on to do with the toll puddle then? Because this is one of the great get-togethers of the left. In fact, it celebrates some of the very first trade unionists in Britain who were martyrs as a result, isn't it? So, I mean, what's happened with that? This is a normal thing, obviously, for you to be showing the film down there.
Yeah.
I mean, Southwest trade union council usually organise it. Some people I used to work with who were based at the time up in Filton in north of Bristol, which is a, you know, I think the reason they were up there is because there's lots of trade union members in the Ministry of Defence procurement nearby office at Abbey Wood. But anyhow, what's happened?
Well, it seems that the people who organised the festival have decided to make martyrs of the people who are trying to put on a screening of a film in their festival. It's so crazy and stupid that it's unbelievable, really. I mean, the film was due to be shown, the Jeremy Corbyn film was due to be shown there and was booked to be shown there months ago. And then suddenly, and it's been shown in a shortened form, half-hour form, months before that, and it won an award. It won the People's Award or the Audience Award for the festival in the year before. So now it was naturally the finished form was going to be shown in July at the festival, and the SWTUC said no, you can't show this. They came up with lots of different reasons for why it couldn't be shown. One was they didn't like the title, because the big lie being the subtitle, they thought that was to do with Hitler and that would cause upset. I mean, that was complete nonsense, because there's been, you know, hundreds of films called The Big Lies, you know, since its origins back in 1930s Germany. They then said it would in some way cause disturbances at the festival. Where that comes from, how a film showing is going to cause disturbances, you know, is it going to frighten the horses? It's absolute nonsense. So they said it couldn't be shown for that reason. The people, the very decent people who wanted to show the film, who organised the actual film screening event, said, well, if we can't show this film, we won't show the event at all. And so they pulled the whole event. And the TUC then, when asked about it, that is the National TUC, said this film was not going to be shown because it didn't uphold TUC values, and it might affect the safety of staff and stewards. Now, this seems like a combination of the previous kind of accusations, but it's ludicrous. How is the film not going to affect the safety of staff and students? What values of the TUC doesn't it uphold? Is it a value of the TUC to suppress the truth? Is it a value of the TUC to suppress freedom of speech?
Well, it just sounds to me, Norman, like there's a kind of culture of fear around.
Yeah, well, I think they're afraid of Keir Starmer. I think Keir Starmer is cracking the whip. So that whether it's the TUC or the Labour Party MPs or the anyone in the Labour Party hierarchy who wants to go anywhere and wants to stay in their positions have to do whatever Keir Starmer wants them to do. And so they've basically done exactly that. They've stopped the showing of this film because it shows Keir Starmer up in a bad light. And also it mentions, you know, Jeremy Corbyn in some sort of favourable light, and that's enough to get it banned, get it expelled. I mean, I don't think we've heard the end of it, because I think there are plans to have an alternative festival where they are going to show the film, but that's yet to be finalised, I think.
So it's obviously not that easy to just watch the film online. How do people get to see it, Norman?
Well, essentially it's been screened in venues across the country. There's screenings everywhere. There's screenings on tomorrow, day after, all throughout May and into June. I mean, essentially it's put on by people who want to put it on, and they are showing no signs of not wanting to put it on. So it's being screened everywhere. If you want to find out where it's being screened, either go onto the platform Facebook page, because you can all the latest screenings are put up there.
Platform Films.
Platform Films Facebook page. All the latest screenings are up on there. Or if you don't like Facebook, you can email me and I send you a list, and you'll be updated every time there's a new screening. It takes all our time to do this, because there are new screenings all the time. But we will, every time there's a new screening, we'll email you with the latest screening. So yeah, my email address is norm6344@gmail.com. So it's Norm, short for Norman, N-O-R-M, 6344@gmail.com, and we'll tell you exactly where it's being screened everywhere.
Okay, Norman, I'm sure you're not even thinking about planning of turning up at Tollpuddle with a portable projector and a battery in order to show it somewhere.
I couldn't possibly comment on anything that, I mean, that sounds like something a bit disreputable to do, and I can't be associated with that. I think there's, from what I understand now, there's going to be about four different people turning up with portable projectors to show the film. There'll be more projectors than there will be space to project the film, I think, from
Yeah,
what I understand.
or organisers of Toll Puddle with any integrity. All right, Norman Thomas, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tony.